So we will actually be, I'll have Sarah out there and maybe some of us outside. So if you guys, anyone wants more information, we would, honestly, it's not just something I say. We are so thankful every time people stand with us, obviously in prayer. Some of you guys stand with us in support, all that stuff. We are so thankful. There are so many times on the field where we actually feel the power of people's prayer. I'm not just saying it. Actually, like, we'll be jet lagged and exhausted and like it's 1,000 degrees and we just left something that was -10, you know, crazy stuff. And I just feel your prayer. So we would love to get to know you. We have prayer cards for you. We'd love to just get it in your face, get it on the refrigerator so you can remember to pray for us, and has more information if you want. So we'll be out there in the foyer afterwards. So I think that's, did I have to say anything else? I always forget all the little details to say, so I'm looking at my wife to make sure I didn't forget anything. I'm gonna, like I said, I have a real quick message, but I would love to actually, I want to pray for this time, because for me, when we're given an opportunity, like given a platform and given a chance to share in front of awesome brothers and sisters, I really don't want to take that lightly. I don't ever want to go in and be like, hey, I'm going to speak or do another message or lead worship. I actually really, if we're going to do this thing, let's meet Jesus. Like, if we're going to do this, say we're going to come to Sunday morning, we're going to do this, let's not leave without meeting Jesus. If you guys forget me and forget Cyprus and forget us and you meet Jesus, I'll be so happy. You know what I mean? Truly. I mean, like, don't clap. I mean, yeah, you can, I guess, but like, that really is the thing. Like, that's what we need. So I'm actually going to invite my daughter Kayla to just pray for us real quickly. Can we give it up for Kayla real quick? Like, I'm a proud dad, and she has a beautiful voice, obviously, as you heard. But like, honestly, like, she's been traveling full time with us since she was 11, right? And singing, and actually, she's an incredible communicator. I'm saying this now in front of all these people. I'm sorry, but she's one of, in my opinion, that I know, that I've heard, one of the very best communicators of the love and message of Jesus. And I'm proud of you for that. But I'm also proud of you because of your pursuit of Jesus at great personal cost. Yeah. So I'm just going to ask her to just share for 2 seconds and then pray for us and let's get to it. And my prayer and my hope, I really do believe that God has something for us this morning. I really do. I really do. He's so good. He loves us so much. Not because of us, it's because of you. I mean, because of Jesus loving you. So let's do it.
All right, let's praise Jesus. Let's pray together, and let's just look to Jesus. But quickly, the scripture on my heart today was, it's a scripture that's like the most commonly memorized scripture. It's John 3:16. And I'm going to pray that our eyes are opened to see the Father, to see his love for us. He's been showing me his great love for his people, and he showed it in sending Jesus. That was him showing his love for us. So I'm going to say this scripture. Let's try to just look to Jesus, thank him for his love in the person of Jesus Christ. So it says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him will not perish, but have everlasting life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him." So Jesus, we just look to you. We praise you, Father God, for your very real love for us. And we pray, Lord Jesus Christ, that you would reveal the Father. Holy Spirit, will you open our eyes to see Jesus? We love you this morning. We worship and adore you this morning. And I pray that you would give us eyes to see you, ears to hear you, and I just pray that you would be glorified, you'd be lifted up. Anoint my dad for what you have to say in Jesus' holy name. Glorify your name. Amen.
Okay, so when I was a pastor in Cedar Rapids for several years under one of the churches here in town, awesome church, I was one of the speakers, and I also did some worship. And my pastor would often say to me, he's like, hey, probably don't want to, lead worship and speak on the same Sunday too much, because people will get sick of you. And it was kind of a joke, but also kind of real. And so I know that you've seen a lot of me so far this morning, and I would ask for your grace. Please don't get sick of me. And if you can, just open your heart to see maybe beyond what I'm saying and actually, or beyond like me and whatever I'm doing, and actually hear what Jesus has for you, because I believe God has something for us. So I'm going to first, also, let's give it up for Pastor Harris and Sarah. They're awesome. Yeah. So thankful for you. I don't know who's older, but I'm proud of you. I'm proud of you. I mean, like, I love the way you love Jesus. You made a commitment to base this church on the truth, on Jesus, the truth of the Word of God. And God is blessing it because of that. And I'm just really thankful for our friendship. And I'm really thankful for you. And I'm thankful that Cedar Rapids has you. I mean it, so. Don't forget to pray for your pastor, because we just, those of us in ministry, we just desperately need it. Okay, so I want to just share a real brief, tiny little section of my story. And that was, we did what we did traveling internationally. We've done it for 12 years, but a bunch of those years, up until like, I think like last year or something like that, or I guess 2 years ago now, that's 2025, we've been based out of Iowa, Cedar Rapids, Iowa. We traveled internationally based out of Cedar Rapids, Iowa. But half of our team was based out of France. It's my daughter and son-in-law. My son's a Swiss citizen. And where they speak French. Okay, whatever. So about a year and a half ago or 2 years ago, we just felt like God was stirring on our heart, just leading us to be together, be based together. Because we would always go overseas, and they would come from France, and we would come from where we are. My son-in-law was doing front of house sound for us. My daughter was singing. So it would, like, we'd meet up, and we just felt like God was saying, hey, leading us to be in the same place. And that might not sound like a big deal, but we didn't know where he was leading us, right? And so, but we did feel like it was time. The time was now. So bear with me. So we actually sold our home here in Iowa in faith, not knowing where we were going, which might sound like a small deal, but you guys, it was a big deal. It was like everyone thought I was insane. Like, everyone's like, you're going where? I'm like, I don't know. Like, you know what I mean? It's like that, like my dad's like, I don't think that's very responsible. I'm like, I hear you. Doesn't seem like that, does it? But I'm trying to follow Jesus. Cool, but where are you going? I don't know. And so over the last year and a half, we really did. We still maintained our friendship. I was like ingrained in my church, River of Life. I was an elder and all that stuff, and it was awesome. And so we actually just stepped out with our family. And now looking back, we see the wisdom of it, because without knowing it, when God was saying it, my oldest daughter, you know, got pregnant with twins. And so it was awesome that we were all together. So now I'm a grandpa, which is crazy. And like, everyone's like, you're going to love being a grandpa. And I was like, I don't know that I am going to like that. I don't know if I want to be called grandpa. It feels a little, but now, you guys, I'm the stereotypical grandpa. No, I really am. Like I'm like, hey, you want to see pictures of my kids? Like, no, I don't want to see pictures of your grandkids. I want to show you mine. You know, like, I'm that guy. Like, 10 minutes in the conversation, I'm always like, here's my phone with my pictures of my grandkids. Aren't they beautiful? They are, though. They'll bless your life. Seriously, I'll show y'all afterwards. It's awesome. But so it was interesting. We've lived in Switzerland. We've lived in kind of New Jersey. We've lived in Rhode Island. We've bounced around until we settled now in an awesome church family in North Florida and living there. But I remember last year, and I'm sharing this, I think you'll see how profound of a thing this was for me. But I was walking taking a walk in the morning. I was talking with Jesus, that's the way I meet with Jesus. I like to walk with him. I like to talk, and because he's awesome. He wants to hear from us. He wants to connect with us. And so I was talking with Jesus, and as I'm talking with him, I suddenly, I don't know how to describe it, but I kind of connected with this really deep, this deep thing in my heart that I didn't know was there. And that was, I was like, God, I'm so tired of not having a home. I feel so like I don't know where I'm from. It's crazy. I never thought of it. Like, I'm really resilient usually. I'm like usually chill, but I was like, my whole family is all seven of us or whatever. And I was like, God, I was just like, oh God, I had found this deep longing in my heart, like for a home. And when I had that feeling, when I have something that strong that I don't know, like, is that biblical? Is not biblical? My first response, my first reaction to that, seeing that feeling, was I just immediately prayed. I was like, God, like, this might sound weird, but I was like, God, is that okay? Does it make sense? I was like, is this just my own fleshly desire that we can throw out, or is this something that's actually real and deep and something from you? And you guys, it was like instantly, like that. If Thanks for doing what we planned. I'm just kidding. I know. No, it was way better than that, actually. It's way better than Microsoft or whatever that was. Bless your heart, AI, if you're listening. Anyway. But I prayed and it was instantaneous. It was like instantaneous. I suddenly just had this immediate reminder of the scripture. And I don't know it off the top of my head, so I'm just going to read it. But this was what popped in my head. It was 1 Corinthians 8:19-20. And this is what it says. It says, "Do you not know that your bodies are temples of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have received from God? You are not your own. You are bought at a price. Therefore, honor God with your bodies." Immediately, God showed me that I'm actually supposed to be his home. And that's cool. But what it came with was a deep conviction. I was like, God, I suddenly just realized that God longs to actually have a stable home in my heart. And immediately I was struck by how often have I asked God to cohabitate with sin? It's like asking someone to rent with their mortal enemy in the same house. Every time I let in those attitudes and I let them run rampant, I'm asking Jesus to cohabitate with my garbage. It broke my heart. And honestly, like, we're still doing what we did, but it changed everything for me. And then he reminded me, he brought me to scripture, John 15, where it says, like, it talks about, "I'm the vine, you are the branches." And we all remember that he says, if you abide in me, you'll bear much fruit. But actually, it doesn't say that. It says, if you abide in me and I abide in you, you will bear much fruit. So it just shifted my whole mind. I was like, God, like, you're in my heart. And I'm not making you king of it. I'm asking you to come in as just another renter. It's shifted my whole heart. I was like, God, like, and I have to confess, I'm a doer. I'm like, let's change the world. That's where I'm at. And I think that's, God made me that way. But one of my biggest struggles is to gain my worth or feel like I gain my worth by what I can do or achieve. Yeah, that's that sound again. And that's not right. I don't gain my worth by what I do or achieve. My works, my things I do, the Bible actually says they're like filthy rags. I gain my worth by the blood of King Jesus alone. I have no other boast. Everything I do out of myself is garbage. It might seem cool, but it's not. And my whole attitude shifted at that time, began to shift. I'm still pressing and I'm trying to find it. But like, my thing is, like, when I go out to get in front of a bunch of people, I want to do a great job to honor God, all this stuff. But what I really want this morning, what I really want is I want Jesus to be king of this time. Because you don't need me. You don't need a nice message. You need to meet with Jesus. I don't want you to leave with a nice message delivered by a good speaker. I want you to meet with Jesus because you have real needs. You have real brokenness. We have real brokenness. We have stuff that can only be answered by the blood of King Jesus. We need Jesus. It's not just religion. It's not a myth. It's not a fairy tale. No matter what your age, King Jesus is the answer. The Bible says the kingdom of heaven consists of righteousness, peace, and joy. That is what your life looks like when it's surrendered to Jesus and Jesus is king. When it's not righteousness, peace, and joy. It's striving and anxiety and a mess. When it's submitted to Jesus, it's righteousness, peace, and joy. God, give us grace to surrender to King Jesus. And I'm an evangelist. My function in the body of Christ is to share the message of Jesus with people who don't know him. I love it. I love people seeing people set free. But one of the things that we as evangelists can sometimes be guilty of, not even because it's our heart sometimes, is we get the idea that you say a prayer And you and God becomes your savior. And that, but it's never been about God being your savior. The Bible says this. It says, if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe that in your heart that God raised him from the dead, then you will be saved, right? Believing that God raised him from the dead means that he's actually God. He actually did what he said he is. It's not a myth. It's not a fairy tale. It's not a story. King Jesus died and rose from the dead, right? But the first part of that is not, I want you to be my savior. It's King Jesus come in and take over. I want you to be Lord. We don't understand that in America. We're like, I'll do my own thing. I'm free. Yes, we're free, but we're surrendering our freedom to Jesus. I have my idea about this and what justice looks like and da-da-da-da-da. Yeah, but I'm surrendering it because King Jesus' idea is right and mine is not. Most of the time. Well, he's always right. Every once in a while, I get it right. And so this transformed everything for us. Before we were saying, hey, we want to draw a crowd so the guy can preach the gospel, and we do. But now it's like, God, I don't just want to draw a crowd. I want to see people's hearts. I want to draw people's hearts. I want to see them come to, I want to please Jesus. Because if he sets foot in this place, it's all over. You don't need me. You don't need a power. Like, I mean, you kind of do, but like, I mean, really, like that's what it's about. If he comes and does that. And I was thinking about it, and I don't know if I'm going to go with what I plan to go with. Sorry. I was preaching on New Year's Eve. There was a youth event on New Year's Eve. And in New Year's Eve, I made an analogy. I had just recently kind of seen this, and I thought this was so awesome and beautiful. I'm going to share it again here real quick. Okay. So isn't it interesting? Have you guys ever been to a modern art museum? Anyone? They're pretty terrible, right? That's just me. I'm like, okay, cool. Someone nailed a log on a wall and rotated it, and there's a red circle now, and that's worth $1 million. Cool, whatever, you know. But I was thinking about something. I was thinking about, like, you know, if you're a good parent and your kid gives you a piece of art, like, you don't know what it is. You know, at first, you're like, oh, is that a house? They're like, no, it's a man with a truck. I'm like, oh, cool, I love it. It's just like that. You know what I mean? But you're still like, this is the best thing I've ever seen. And you're going to put it on your fridge. And like, how long do we have to keep it there, honey? You know, like, because that's what good parents do. You encourage your kids and you know, it doesn't have to be perfect. You're getting it. But then eventually you throw it away. Unless you're a hoarder. Well, that's no judgment. But I was thinking about this. Imagine this scenario. So a millionaire, billionaire, whatever, walks into your kitchen and you're like just on the way to throw away the artwork into the trash. Like, I'm going to do this. And the billionaire sees that artwork as you're throwing it away. Like, as you're about to throw it away, what's its value? Worthless. But the billionaire looks at it and he's like, man, that's the best guy with a truck I've ever seen. I'll pay you $100 million for it. In a heartbeat. Yeah, have at it. In a heartbeat, that piece of art went from worthless to worth $100 million. And here's why. Because value is determined by what someone is willing to pay for it. That's a good analogy, right? Praise God. You get where I'm going, right? You guys, many of us struggle. Many of us feel like we have to earn our own worth. Maybe we feel like we're worthless. Maybe we feel like we're struggling. Your value is not determined by that. Your value is, our value is determined by what someone is willing to pay for us. And the king of the universe, who holds the universe in the palm of his hand, decided we were valuable enough to give everything for. So that means that every single soul and life in this room, no matter how we feel, is worth more than all the treasures on the earth. This is your value. This is our value. King Jesus is a lion and he's a lamb. We have to know him as both. He's a lion. He's holy. He's a consuming fire. Just because you think it's okay doesn't mean it's okay. Right? But we can get so caught up in knowing him as a lion that we forget him as a lamb who came. He said, he come to me, all you who are weary and heavy laden, and I'll give you rest, for I'm gentle and humble of heart, and you'll take my yoke upon you, you'll find rest for your souls. I mix that up a little bit, but that's his heart. If we know him only as a lion, we're just thinking he's judging all the time, but he comes in with his great love and mercy. But if you know him only as a lamb, he's so good, he's so loving, everything's fine. It's not fine. It's not fine. Jesus didn't come to condone our sin and our garbage. He came to set us free. He loves us. He loves us enough to call it out and bring freedom. And that's beautiful. All over the world, we say the message of Jesus, the gospel, the good news, is simple enough that a small child should be able to understand it. It's this. My friends, there is a God. It's a God in heaven. He created us for a relationship with him. But every single one of us, the Bible says we've sinned. Romans 3:23 says we've sinned and fall short of the glory of God. By hurting God, hurting people, disobeying God's holy law, we've separated ourselves from God. But the good news, what we call the gospel, is simply this. God looked at you, and he looked at me, praise God. And instead of judging us like we actually deserve, because he is a consuming fire altogether, holy, instead of judging us like we deserved, instead he actually gave his life to pay the penalty that we deserve to pay so that we can be forgiven and free and reconnected with God, right? Praise God. And then he rose from the dead to prove his authority to do that. So all over the world, we say saying yes to Jesus is as easy as admitting our sin, believing that Jesus is who he says he is, and committing our lives to him, calling on his name. And this morning, I was watching the altar and it was so cool. I just want to come and I want to say, Jesus sees you. He loves you. If you've never said yes to Jesus, it's time. It's time. Today's the day. If you said yes to Jesus 1,000 times, but this new year you're conscious of all the things and all the areas that are not surrendered to Jesus, it's time. It doesn't mean we have to go get it right and earn it. It means we have to take our stuff, we have to lay it down before God, and we say, have your way. Maybe it's sin, maybe it's just patterns, maybe it's anxiety, maybe it's depression, maybe it's confusion, maybe it's not just not surrendering to God and his holy scripture. But today, what I want to invite us to do, what I believe God has called, what I'm here to invite us to do, including me, including my family, what I'm inviting us to do is to come to Jesus, to surrender and say, God, I've tried long and hard to do this on my own. And I've screwed it up pretty massively. Here and now, King Jesus, I want you to be Lord. I don't want to ask you to cohabitate with garbage you hate, with your mortal enemy. Today, I'm saying, King Jesus, have your way. And what's so powerful about that is we don't have to earn it. We can just keep surrendering. We have to, like, even when you get it wrong, we can come back and repent and keep surrendering. Jesus is so good. What he's looking for is a heart after him. Does that make sense, church? Is what I'm saying clear? Do you hear Jesus in it? I believe it's God's heart for us. We talk about New Year's resolutions. We do all these things. It means getting fit. It means getting our whatever in order. I promise you, you do this, and the other things will start to come in line. And like Pastor said, some of that stuff is going to get thrown out. And it's going to be good. Right? The bondage and garbage is going to get thrown out. So what I want to do this morning is I want to give us an opportunity to just respond to Jesus. To say yes to Jesus for the first time or for the 1,000th time and say, today what I'm calling us to is surrender. If you've never given your life to Jesus, I want to invite you to say yes to Jesus for the first time today. Don't wait. Don't wait. He loves you. It's far better. And if you have 1,000 times and there's just, you want to surrender that life and say, God, I want you to have this 2005, 2025. I want you to have this year. I want you to have my life. I want you to have my future. I'm tired of holding stuff back. I need you to have it. But if you're in either of those places, I'm actually just going to count to 3 in a second. And if you want to say yes to Jesus, and it might be the whole church, I just want to encourage you. When I count to 3, I want you to shoot your hand up in the air. I'm not going to have us close our eyes. Because it takes courage to say yes to Jesus. I don't want you to halfway. If you want Jesus, you want to surrender, I want you to shoot your hand up when I count to 3. I want you to shoot it up, and I want to boldly pray together and say yes to Jesus. And let's surrender to King Jesus and give him our life, give him our year. He's the only one who's worthy. He's the only one found worthy. He's the only one who deserves our life and our heart. So on the count of three, if you want to say yes to Jesus for the first or the thousandth time, I want, when I say three, I want you to raise your hand high and shoot it up. One, two, three. Come on, church. Yeah, I like that. I like that. Praise God. If people could do that every time, that would be wonderful. Okay, keep your hands up high, high. Okay, you can put them down. Praise Jesus. I want to say, I'm going to pray real quick, and maybe you just pray with me as a church. And if you raise your hand today for the first time especially, I would encourage you to talk to Pastor Harris or one of the leadership here and just let them know what's happening so I can pray for you. They love you. It's a great church. But let's just pray with me, and why don't, as a church, just repeat after me, and then I'm going to give it to you, and you can take over. So King Jesus, we love you. I want to repeat after me. King Jesus, we love you. And here and now, we admit our need. We admit our brokenness. We've tried to do this on our own, and we have failed. And we've done damage. We have sinned, and we need your forgiveness. But here and now, we confess that we believe you, Jesus. We believe that you're God, that you lived a perfect life. You died for our sin, and you rose from the grave to prove you are who you say you are. And here and now, we commit our lives to you. We ask you to forgive us, cleanse us, and help us to walk with you. We surrender every area of our lives. Please help us, Jesus, to walk with you and be in love with you all the days of our life. We pray this in the mighty name, the name above every other name, the name of King Jesus. In Jesus' name, amen. All right.